Welcome to Profiles in Valor, stories of decorated men and women serving in today's military. And now from the American Veterans Center, Tim Holbert.
Our guest this week is First Lieutenant Timothy Keegan, United States Army Reserves. First Lieutenant Keegan, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Tim. Pleasure to be here.
Your military story is quite different than most others that we hear from on this program, beginning some 20 years later than most others do. You were 44 years old at the time you joined the reserves. Tell us a little bit about your life leading up to your service and what inspired you to join the reserves.
Well, I had been pretty active both in governments and in government and also in politics over a 20, really close to a 30-year career within Florida. And as a result, I was nominated and accepted a position as an Army Reserve Ambassador. The Ambassador Program in Florida essentially works with federal, state, and local elected leaders to support the goals of the Army Reserve legislative initiatives and provide guidance to Army Reserve leadership and recognize citizen soldiers and their families throughout the state, in this case of Florida, for their willingness to support our military. So I was an Army Reserve Ambassador for approximately 4 years. And had been working actually on the legislation to expand non-prior service acceptance, essentially of older people who wanted to participate in the military. So when the Army raised their age maximum to 42, I resigned as an Army Reserve Ambassador, received an age waiver, and accepted a commission into the Army Reserve.
Well, and your life experiences that you brought with you must have really come in handy when working with and mentoring younger soldiers.
Well, that's very true. They're an impressive group, our younger men and women who serve in uniform. I have to say, when I was at Officers Basic for Military Intelligence out in Fort Huachuca, I had 47 second lieutenants ranging in ages from 22 to 29. And I had lawyers, folks with master's degrees who had a considerable amount of experience. And what a great group to work with, in fact. But despite that, there's a big opportunity or a big gulf, frankly, between life experience in the 20s and those in the 40s or late 40s.
Well, let's jump ahead to your deployment. You were deployed to Afghanistan throughout 2009, working as a military intelligence officer. What does such a job entail, and especially what does it entail in a combat zone?
Well, I was working with at the Joint Information Operations Center, JIOC Alpha, in Kabul at ISAF headquarters. So a large portion of my duties involved not only U.S. intelligence and analysis, but also working with other NATO ISAF allies, which included, as it turned out, the Pakistanis and Afghans to a very large degree in information sharing opportunities and also targeting and operational issues in conjunction with our special operations groups.
And
so I was actually quite busy.
And working with the Afghans and the Pakistanis, I would imagine that your life experiences, and again, you know, being a little bit older than the standard first lieutenant, might have really given you a little bit more influence or authority, I guess we could say.
Well, it certainly did within the U.S. command structure. Again, I'm the same age essentially as a lot of colonels and lieutenant colonels, and because of my extensive professional civilian background, I had was entrusted with a little bit more latitude than obviously a junior officer might otherwise be. The Afghans were charming, I have to tell you, and the Pakistanis, which I went out of my way to develop a close relationship with, they were all convinced I was not part of the Army Reserve, but rather a CIA member.
I think that's sometimes common in that part of the world, it seems.
Well, they were all with the Pakistani Intelligence Service, the ISI, so made for some lively conversations. But the interesting part was the ability to have a real conversation with senior military leaders from various nations who remarkably, or maybe unremarkably, don't have a very good grasp of America and its culture. And not that there's distrust, but I would characterize it more as they just don't quite understand us.
Well, and that can go both ways, I think. And, you know, I think what's so impressive about so many of our military men and women of this generation is how hard they've worked to try to build that understanding between the two cultures.
Yes, there's no greater ambassador program than that of having our young men and women deployed abroad. And I believe it's up to about 90 countries these days. And I would, coming back to Afghanistan, I would suggest that we've already had quite the impact on the Afghan culture. I mean, we've been there for so long. They have a real sense of where Americans are coming from, even if they don't fully understand us. I think they greatly appreciate our sacrifice within the region.
Well, before we close here, Operation Firestarter, I understand that was a major highlight of your deployment experience. What was it, and what was your role within it?
Operation Firestarter was a counter-narcotics operation comprised of 40 multinational SOF and DEA personnel. We had 5 helicopters, close air support. The operation was designed and executed in order to find, fix, and destroy key narcotics processing and distribution facilities in Afghanistan, in the Nangarhar region of Afghanistan. It also served the purpose of reaffirming an Afghan central government presence within that region. But we flew in. Fortunately, nobody was injured. It was a little bit risky, especially at the time last year, when there were not a lot of coalition forces in the Nangarhar region taking on those types of events. But it was quite something. I mean, truthfully, I was able to cajole my way onto the mission. I was the only American on that mission, in fact. It was very instructive and very useful. In fact, I took a combat camera crew with me, and that video, which we shot, ended up all the way up at the SHAPE headquarters in Belgium, where it was studied, because part of what was going on was an analysis of how our troops were operating, and especially the Afghan special forces were operating in the field. So it was useful on a variety of different levels.
Now, you were awarded the Defense Meritorious Service Medal for your service, which I understand is quite unique for a first lieutenant in your line of work.
Yeah, I was the only first lieutenant at ISAF headquarters to receive that award, at least to that point. Part of that was a function of, frankly, the high-level intelligence work I was doing and the information sharing I had coordinated and initiated in a lot of ways through my command with the Pakistani group as well as the Afghans, and in conjunction with the Operation Firestarter event. That was a little bit unique. Not many 48-year-old lieutenants in the Army Reserve, especially with an MI branch designation, are participating in the Special Operations Air Assault.
Well, in closing, upon reflection, now that you're several years into your service with the Army Reserve, what kind of an impact has it made on your life?
Tim, I couldn't be happier with the choice of serving in uniform. I think it's a great opportunity. My only regret is that I didn't accept the commission earlier on in my life, frankly. Like so many of us, you know, you get tied up once you graduate school, high school or college, and maybe you're on to different things. Perhaps you started a family. There always seems to be some reason why, you know, I hear this from people a lot. Well, this came up and that came up, and we just didn't have the time to do it. But, boy, I wish I had done it. You know, I hear that over and over again. You know, people who were either in and would like to come back into service, and I certainly encourage that, but also those who would have liked to have participated or volunteered in some form or fashion, but just never got around to it, and perhaps they're age barred from doing it now. That's partly the reason I was such a strong proponent of increasing the age maximums for non-prior service enlistees or officers. And by the way, I would tell you that the older officers that we bring in and older enlistees that we bring in perform remarkably well in the field. I believe there's some studies on it which demonstrate that they are better in a variety of areas than some of our younger members. I mean, the only difference is the physical component, which can be quite taxing at times.
I can understand that. First Lieutenant Timothy Keegan, thank you for your service.
Thank you, Tim. Appreciate the opportunity.
Profiles in Valor is produced by the American Veterans Center and Radio America. To hear more profiles, subscribe on iTunes or visit www.americanveteranscenter.org.